TRE, your voice in Spain.
Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Ben Myers. He's the founder of LongeviQuest. They are the global authority on maximum human longevity. It was announced recently that the oldest living person at the age of 116 years of age is Maria Brañas Morera, and she lives in Catalonia. Welcome to the show, Ben.
Hello, Hannah. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. So 116 years, that's some age, isn't it?
It is, and you probably wouldn't know it. It's usually not a compliment to say that somebody seems like they might be in their early 80s, but really, you would have no idea, and especially mentally, just the conversations we were having and just how quick she was, how lucid she was, how many memories she has, and how many friends she has. It was really a wonderful experience, it seemed, especially for her. She had a smile on her face almost the entire time, which was just great to see.
Oh, how wonderful. So did she manage to share with you what she believes her secret is?
Well, she really didn't share that with us, I'll tell you that we didn't crack that code, but she's given some hints in past interviews. Just about staying away from toxic people is really kind of one of her taglines, and staying positive and staying very close to family. And that's just clear in her life and you know, how she was surrounded by family and how she stayed close with people throughout her entire life. She's kind of led more by example, but in terms of what she said and as far as answering that question, it's really about staying away from toxicity and staying positive. And she seems to live that every day based on what I've seen.
Oh, that's really interesting, staying away from toxic people and things. I guess that's, I don't know, it's something that maybe some of us struggle with. You know, it can be difficult, you know, if there's people that you don't necessarily want to spend time with. I guess sometimes it can be difficult to say no. We're people pleasers in general, aren't we?
You know, I think we are. You know, I definitely am not an expert in psychology, but from what I've noticed about folks who reach these ages, there's not really, and I'm not a medical expert either, but you know, there's not really a correlation in terms of their favorite foods, or you know, some of them may drink alcohol, for example, some may not. Some in the past were even smokers, but really staying positive and having that kind of internal peace is just what it seems kind of evident in many folks who reach that age. And so you even, you know, the people around them is one thing, but inside they seem to have this, this sunshine. And that was certainly very evident in, you know, with Señora Brañas Morera in the brief time I had with her.
That's interesting. So when and why did you set up LongeviQuest?
Well, this was set up about a year ago. I've been involved casually as really a fan of the field of what we call super longevity, following super centenarians for quite some time. But over time, it became clear that there's really more of a demand for this information. There's more of an interest than was being fulfilled. There's been a lot of very hardworking people who have kind of researched this, because when you talk about records of maximum human achievement, there needs to be validation. There needs to be verification. And in some cases, when folks are, they might be 115 years old, the records back then weren't the best. And there needs to be some investigation involved. And so in the past, this was largely done on a volunteer basis and done by many separate organizations globally. And so the result was kind of folks who were doing this in their free time and without many resources, in a lot of cases on their own dime. And also, you didn't really have any global list, any aggregate sense of this data. And so I saw that and realized that there's a lot of interest in it. And I started speaking with a lot of the leading researchers in the field, and you know, it became a lot more about just aggregating things, more synthesizing them, and having the global researchers around the world work together. And really, when you synthesize this data and you synthesize the intelligence and the efforts of the people in this organization, it just really ends up being something where the sum is a lot more than its parts. And it's really been great to see what's been done so far. And there's really a lot more super centenarians out there than have been covered. It's not just the oldest person in the world right now, of course, that happens to be, you know, Mrs. Brañas Morera in Spain. But, you know, really, it's also about the oldest person in, you know, Andalusia, where I believe you're located, Maria Rodriguez Sanchez, who, you know, in the past hasn't gotten, you know, somebody at the level who might be, you know, only, quote unquote, only 110 years old may not have gotten attention, but really everybody deserves their moment in the sun. And, you know, so many of these people have really inspiring stories. And so kind of uniting that global community of researchers and providing some resources to allow there to be more research done and have less limits on what's able to be done has allowed more people to get recognized. I think it's been a great thing.
Yeah. So there's a woman in Andalusia who's 110.
There is, you know, I would say at least one. She's the one that's verified. She turned 110 January 24th, and you know, she was actually not discovered by LongevaQuest. That was before our public launch. You know, there's Daniel Herman and Eduardo Garcia and Rubia, two researchers in Spain who have worked really without any support for 10 years and documented so many. And now, of course, we recognize her age. We're working with them now. Very, very honored to be. But yeah, she's the oldest person. She was actually born in Cadiz and lives in Cadiz still. And so that's you try to get on that micro level. It's always, I think everybody is interested to some extent. And when it's localized, somebody who's, again, I use the term only, quote unquote, 110, that, you know, somebody like that is still very, is really famous locally. Mm. And is something of interest to everybody in Andalusia. So, you know, I confess, I don't know much about her, you know, compared to the researchers on the ground in Spain. What I, you know about her, I think it's always interesting when somebody loves living in an area so much that they're born in that area and 110 years later, they still live there. Yeah. But getting down at that more, you know, I guess micro level, something that's been of interest to a lot of folks and that hasn't been possible with the lack of resources and infrastructure given to these types of researchers.
Yeah. So there's, you've got a top five on your website of super centenarians around the world. Maria is at the top with 116 years. Then Fusa Tatsumi from Japan, 115 years. And then also 115 years, Eddie Cesarelli in the United States. Yep. Have you spoken to him?
I have not. That is actually, she is a female, actually.
Sorry.
I have not. I have not met too many of these folks. And one reason is because this organization, it's a global organization, but a lot of the work has to be done locally. One problem that we had was in the past, prior to LongevaQuest, was there was really a bottleneck in terms of where information was being sent to. And there's really one person who's approving every validation who, you know, came and did great work and helped us with our validation standards. But now we empower a lot of folks on the ground. And so there's a global validation commission, which has folks from the Americas, from Japan, from Europe, experts in this field, and they ensure that there's minimum validation standards met, but the researchers on the ground do a whole lot of the work. And so when we talk about folks in Europe, in a lot of cases, they're people in Spain might be going and meeting them. And in Japan, I'd say it's probably one of the most active countries for this research, because in Japan, there's a, you know, historically a very long lifespan and also very good record keeping about this sort of thing. And the researchers on the ground in Japan meet with these folks all the time. But of course, in the past couple of years, it's been a little bit more limited. You know, Senora Branius Moreira had survived COVID in the past, but of course, there are precautions taken as robust and lucid as these people may be. There's still been precautions taken. So in-person visits are probably a little less than they used to be, but I wish I had the chance to meet more of them, but it just, it's more feasible to have the people closest to them and also who speak their language. I'm fortunate that I can speak broken Spanish. But in the case of somebody in Japan, it makes more sense for them to be visited by somebody locally, and it still ends up being a very special experience.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's why I wondered if you'd been in touch with Eddie being in the United States. Is that where you are?
I am in the United States. She is in Iowa, I believe, at the moment. I may be mistaken on that. You know, I am in Florida, so that's a little far away. Excuse me, she's in California, so that's even further away.
Yeah.
And so she is. So I have not been in touch with her, but it's something that I'm more of the, I don't want to say the business side, but I consider my job to be enabling researchers. And so I, as much as I love being with Maria, as much as I, you know, I'm going to be visiting Japan next month, as much as I love to be doing that sort of thing, it's something that I'm totally okay with folks who are closer to them. And we have some researchers out in Colorado, and even our director of the Americas is in Mexico. But I don't know, I would love to have the chance to meet her. I've not been in touch with her. And there are some super centenarians, even in Florida, who I haven't personally been in touch with. You know, we don't want to intrude on them too much, especially during COVID, but I look forward to meeting a lot more.
Mm. So what do you do then on a day-to-day level with LongevaQuest?
Well, a lot of this involves providing infrastructure for the researchers. In the past, it's been kind of a hodgepodge of folks' personal resources. And so really that involves going granular, because we don't have at this point, except for the United States and Japan, no country has more than two contractors with us. And so really supporting the infrastructure, making sure that people have what they need. And in this case, one thing that's limited resources, research in the past, has been that in a lot of cases, records require payment. Things like that. Records require retrieval. And, you know, being able to, you know, achieve records to pay for them, to get birth certificates, things like that, that are publicly available you know, by government records, is setting up that infrastructure is very important. But additionally, really looking at the global level. So we have our Global Validation Commission and making sure that all the sides are coordinating together without dominating the local research. One difference that we have with LongevaQuest is we consider somebody validated when they're validated by the local researchers. There's somebody, when we look at Japanese records, they're very unique. They're not just in language, but in their format. And they could best be interpreted by somebody, you know, by the local folks who are running LongevaQuest Japan. And so having that while also combining it with the global review to ensure that there's minimum validation standards, a lot of my job is trying to ensure that balance. We're still a very young organization. And we're still in our first year and even, you know, really in our first several months of operating with the Global Validation Commission. And so making sure that there's this kind of corporate entity that's supporting these researchers, that's making sure that they have the resources they need to do this and to you provide the information that so many people are looking for while still ensuring that they have autonomy, ends up being a very good chunk of my job at the moment. It's been a really very interesting adventure. But I myself personally don't have a ton of validations to my name in terms of stuff that I've researched. And so I see us very much as a research organization. And the people who are running the Global Validation Commission and the LongevaQuest Research Commission, they're widely recognized as being experts in their local areas and globally. And I consider my job to enable and support them.
Mm. And you mentioned earlier that Maria Branias Moreira survived COVID. She's among the oldest people known to have survived COVID. She contracted it at the age of 113 in April 2020. Amazing.
It's amazing, especially when you consider how serious, I mean, it's obviously serious now, but how unknown it was. There was no vaccine. It was, and she just really, and she, you know, went through it just fine, thank God. You know, sadly, a lot of people did not. But, you know, there are examples of super centenarians who sadly did pass away, but there are many examples of others who did not. And it's kind of what I said earlier about how you wouldn't know that she's a day over 80. I think that's kind of proof. She has a, you know, God willing, has had a strong constitution and hopefully it continues.
Mm. And through your life with this, has it made you want to live to be a super centenarian?
No, because I think that's a very interesting question. The answer is I would love to, of course, have a long life, but it's something that I think is very difficult to aspire to. And I think that's one thing that inspires a lot of people across the world to really look at these people with admiration is nobody tries to get these titles. There's just this day-to-day, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, that positivity and just kind of taking it day by day and minimizing stress and letting that long life just happen. It's interesting. There's been a lot of folks who have done research in the field of longevity and worked very hard to live long. And, you know, anything can happen to anybody. I could walk across the street here in Boca Raton, Florida, and there's a bus, you know, that's going, who knows, God forbid, but who knows?
Yeah.
Aiming for that is not something that's on my mind. But however, there's many lessons that I've taken, of course, by studying these people and by researching them and reading about them and learning from them in terms of the way to live life. And there's no doubt that those lessons are good for everybody to know. And if the effect is that I end up having a long, healthy life, of course, anybody would want that. But I think what's so admirable is that these are folks who never tried to be famous. They never tried to go out there and get renown. And so you have people who just over the course of living, you're now getting their time in the sun, and they have stories and life histories that many people can relate to. So it's everybody wants to follow certain celebrities, if it's athletes, if it's whoever it may be. But in some cases, it's tough to relate to the way they live their lives nowadays as celebrities. Mm. And these are people who didn't really set out to get their time in the sun, and their lessons are really applicable to everybody. And I've personally been inspired by that as well.
Yeah. I'd say she's lost a lot of people over the years, a lot of loved ones and friends, family, who were all the same kind of age as her, or even younger, probably. But she also has 11 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren, which I'm guessing keep her very busy.
I would imagine so. And her daughter Rosa was there with us. And you know, I got to say that I don't want to reveal any information about her age. She's not somebody who's on our website. But I would imagine she will be one day, because she's pretty active, was running all over the place. And of course, if somebody gets to be 116, there are some cases, not Mrs. Bronius Marrero's daughter, but there are some cases in which your children are in their 90s. And so. And it's definitely something that's amazing. And the most wonderful thing to see for those of us who were visiting from LongevaQuest was just she was being showered with love. I mean, you know, people love her there. She's lived in her same residence there in Olot in Catalonia for 25 years. The staff there is like family. She's had people there who she's been friends with for a long time. And then, of course, her actual family. That's probably just such an important thing in so many of these people's lives. And yes, as you mentioned, when somebody ends up being the oldest person in the world, it's kind of an odd fact that everyone else who was alive when they were born has since passed away. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of loss that happens. And when they can be, you know, can be 116 years after they're born and they have more family who's surrounding them, of course, it's just such an important factor. And it's great to see with her.
Yeah, lovely. Well, if people want more information about LongevaQuest and want to have a look at all the super centenarians that you mentioned on your site, just tell people the website, Ben.
It is longevaquest.com. That's longevi, L-O-N-G-E-V-I, quest, Q-U-E-S-T.com. You can go to the directory, focus on some in Spain or other countries, and we're constantly adding to it. This is a work in progress, and we have more and more researchers joining on a frequent basis. And so, you know, please feel free to check in over time. And you know, we look forward to highlighting more of these really inspiring people.
Yeah, fantastic. Ben Myers, founder of LongevaQuest, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Hannah. Bye-bye.
TRE. Talk Radio Europe.